morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, whatever time of dimension that you are in. This is your host, Chris. Welcome to Interstellar Frequency.
Hey, you all. Y'all. I am back, and it's been a roller coaster helter-skelter beyond belief.
Copyright 1967, The Beatles. 1968, Charles Manson.
And some of you may have known, and some of you might have saw the latest episode that Can I Have a Moment? Which really I did need to take a moment and take care of some stuff, especially everything that happened with that. That was insane. And so here I am, back again for tonight. And I wanted to give you a little, you know, something that has been in the making and mix that really needs to come out on the show. What I'm bringing you, if some of you have ever met Horace, that would have been in the episode Universe Selectors Incorporated. If you have not heard that one and you're just now coming into hearing this, my recommendation is go back and listen to Universe Selectors Incorporated.
You don't really have to listen to that, although if you don't, there is a distinct possibility I will cry. Nevertheless, Horace is perfectly alive in the first episode of this epic series, and you can get to know him well enough from that to understand the rest.
Because that's where you meet Horace for the first time on the show. Kind of gives you a little bit of, you know, the world of Horace and stuff. And so tonight, what I'm bringing you is about 7 episodes.
Dude, seriously, it's 6 episodes. I know it seems like 7, but I was pretty stoned when I put it all together, and I don't count so well in that condition. My apologies.
That are going to be stacked back to back to back behind this one. And it's called Horace's Afterlife. And when we were working on this, that would have been right around December-ish time. At the beginning of 2023, end of 2023, beginning of 2024. When we were working on Horace's Afterlife. And yeah, I didn't put it out on my show then because I was doing other stuff with the show and doing things here and there. And you know how it goes. So I want to bring that to you and kind of give you a little bit of this other side of creative art, which is basically a storytelling. And it's nice. I like it a lot. As this is another, you know, I guess science fiction story, or if it be called that, or just a short story. I'm not quite sure what you'd call it, but...
Note from the author. I'm no more interested in genre than I am in gender. Call it whatever works for you.
It's a story nonetheless. That being said, this episode actually takes place during the Christmas time.
Christmas, copyright roughly 35 BC, give or take a few years.
So, as this episode unfolds, you're going to be, you know, yes, okay, we're in April right now. And, which is really a significant thing, you know, thing to think about, kind of. It's significant, but, you know, it could also be neither here nor there, because it is a birth that takes place, and if you think of it in that essence, it's like, wow, also a second birth taking place in April of, you know, rising. So, yeah, it's kind of like, wow, it just dawned on me thinking about that just now. That's kind of cool. So... I'll give you the episode. It's a nice long one. And then you know, maybe come back with a little bit of commentary behind it. And we'll go from there. And then it will be the 7 episodes behind this.
This is the first episode. As there are only 6 in total, there will be 5 following it.
Back to back. It has been one hell of a mission, and I appreciate you all and the birthday wishes and everything like that. It got really busy around the birthday time. It got busy going across country and driving. And yeah, so it's like I haven't been able to be at the studio or one of the studios to do something. And so I'm able to do something now. And it's like, thank you. So I hope you guys enjoy this, because I know I do. All right, here we go.
I really am not in the mood for kids. I'm 66 years old and I don't deal with diapers that aren't my own. I'm almost completely nose blind from smoking so much, and even I could smell the shit coming from this kid's pants. I looked disgusted as Jackson jumped in my lap. I turned to Annie. Seriously?
You wanted to read to him, didn't you? That was your big issue for, like, forever. You wanted to read Dr. Seuss to my kids.
I did that already. Green Eggs and Ham, The Sneetches, even that psychotic cat in the creepy hat. What else do you want?
Mama says you make up the best stories, Uncle Horry.
Jackson hugged me, quite nearly strangling me. Annie pulled his little hands from around my neck.
Jackie, that's not how we give hugs, remember? We have to let Uncle Horace breathe.
How come Uncle Horace is so stinky?
Well, it's not because I didn't change my diapers, kid, I'll tell you that. Annie, are you going to...
Jackie, let's go change your diapers while Uncle Horace gets ready to tell you the story of the Christmas squirrels.
What the fuck are Christmas squirrels?
That's what you need to work out in the next couple of minutes. And don't talk that way in front of Jackie, please. I'll be hearing that word every 3 minutes for the rest of the week. And Axel gets really cranky about Jackson swearing more than he does.
She took the little monster off my lap and instinctively handed me my bong from the desk.
Good luck, Horace.
And they were gone. I lit up. What else would you expect? What, I asked myself, do squirrels have to do with Christmas? Well, let's see. Trees, right? Squirrels like trees, and Annie always has a Christmas tree. Actually, don't tell her, but I kind of like that part. There's nothing more fun than watching kids get all excited about the presents under the tree. I was one of them sometime in the last millennium. I used to love to get Batman and Star Trek toys. I have no idea what they're playing with today, but it's probably not as cool as the toys I had. I used to have to make up stories for mine. I wrote more Star Trek stories as a kid than Gene Roddenberry did in his entire career. I only had Kirk, Spock, and a Klingon, so those were most of the characters. Sometimes Johnny West and Captain Maddox would come in, but they were twice the size of the Star Trek dolls. I wrote my own version of Spectre of the Gun long before Lee Cronin, who was secretly Gene L. Kuhn, ever did. But I didn't have the OK Corral. I had giant cowboys from Romulus. They still had some pretty cool shootouts from behind Mom's laundry basket and a big cardboard box I made into Johnny West's cabin in the woods, though, even if it was bullets versus space. If I could make up those stories...
Mr. Stinky Pants is all cleaned up now, Uncle Horace. Put the bong away, please.
I set the bong up on the desk, grabbed my cigarettes, and went to the easy chair. Annie gave me a glare that would have brought ice to an erupting volcano. I tossed the cigarettes back to the desk. She smiled condescendingly. She set Jackson on my lap. So, you need a story, sir?
Uh-huh, with Christmas squirrels and a rainbow. And maybe a wicked witch? And Godzilla?
I looked over at Annie. Does he smoke up more than I do?
He's got an imagination. The question is, do you?
I narrowed my eyes, used my middle finger to rub my nose, and cleared my throat. Okay. Once upon a time...
A fairy tale? No. Fairy tales are dumb. No fairy tales unless they're like the ones in the book Daddy reads when Mommy is working.
You're kind of demanding for a three-year-old, you know that?
Mommy says I'm gifted.
I think that's a polite term for annoying. Anyway, okay, not once upon a time, but in fact, a week from Friday night, the squirrels snuck down from the Brown family Christmas tree.
How did they get there?
They were living there when your dad cut the tree down. He just didn't notice because, you know, he was busy with the axe and all that. So when he put it up and you and your mom and dad decorated it, they kept hiding in the branches where you guys wouldn't see them. They're fast, those squirrels. So anyway, on Christmas Eve, the squirrels became magically enchanted by the Wicked Witch of the North by Northwest. She put a spell on them to make them sentient.
What's sentient?
Ha! Not so gifted, are we there, little guy? Sentient means you know you exist. You have feelings about things.
I have feelings about things.
I know. You're sentient. So am I. There's even a case to be made that your mother approaches sentience from time to time. Annie smirked and rubbed her nose with her middle finger.
Why did the Wicked Witch put a spell on the squirrels?
It's what wicked witches do. Usually, they hang out in groups of three and spend a lot of time figuring out when they're going to hang out again and whose life they're going to screw up next. But Eva, the witch of the North by Northwest, was lost. Probably because North by Northwest is a cartographical impossibility and she couldn't find anyone but a bunch of squirrels to mess with, so she picked them. She figured if her spell worked out, it would make the witch news and her sisters might find her and take her somewhere that wouldn't be so isolated.
Well, why didn't she put a spell on the humans in the house?
She was just starting out and she wasn't powerful enough for that. Kind of like this angel named Clarence who hadn't earned his wings yet.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls.
Your mommy showed you that movie?
Uh-uh. It was Daddy. Mommy doesn't like movies if there isn't a whole lot of colors. It's how come we need a rainbow for Mommy. This has to be a color story.
I see. Okay. So anyway, Larry the squirrel was the first one who came out of the tree. You know what his problem was? He was suddenly sentient. And the first thing sentient beings do is try to figure out what their purpose in life is. And the only purpose that occurred to him was that he was hungry. So he decided he ought to eat something. He started to run around the living room looking for nuts because, you know, squirrels love peanuts.
There's some peanuts in my womb under the bed. Did he find those?
No, those peanuts were found by Esmeralda Squirrel. She was more courageous. She didn't just look around the living room. She had a really good sense of smell, and she caught their scent right away. She called to her other squirrel friends, Sally Squirrel and Rocky Raccoon, who was also hiding in the tree because he thought he was just a big squirrel. Esmeralda said,
"Hey, now that we're awake and we're smart enough to talk, we really ought to work together to get enough food to feed us for a while, don't you think?"
Larry was busy scratching at the wrapping paper on the box of peanut brittle that your grandma sent to your mom, and he turned around to look at Rocky and Esmeralda and Sally.
"There's definitely peanuts in here. We just need to get in the box."
Rocky said,
"You know, man, there's probably more important stuff than peanuts. I mean, you know, I was checking out this new thinking thing we're all doing all of a sudden. And then, like, all these wild thoughts started smashing into me like snowflakes in a really bad blizzard. And this one I had was that it's like, you know, this Christmas thing. And it's probably supposed to mean something. I'm not sure what or anything, but those are some of the thoughts I'm having. Oh, that, and I really need to pee."
"Oh yes, Christmas certainly does mean something. It's about loving the ones you're with. It's about everybody being all happy that everyone else they love is still alive and they get to be together and just, you know, be? Instead of, you know, not to be. If they can just be with the ones they love, that's best, but if not, they can love the ones they're with and that works, too. You know."
"But aren't you, like, way hungry right now?"
"No, not really. I raided the garbage can before I climbed into this tree last week, and I've been sneaking into the pantry eating Pop-Tarts every night since we got here. It certainly wasn't Uncle Horace who stole the Pop-Tarts when his blood sugar was getting too low. Nope, it was definitely me. Definitely."
"But what about Godzilla?"
"Right. See, Godzilla was wrapped in the package right under the peanut brittle. And when Larry knocked it off of the Godzilla package, the witch of the North by Northwest made him sentient, too.
Cackle, cackle, cackle. Now all you annoying critters can deal with a horrible monster.
And she waved her magic wand, and Godzilla exploded out of the package, looking big and green and scary. Esmeralda screamed, assuming Godzilla was as hungry as she was. Larry jumped back so Godzilla didn't smash into him.
Whoa, dude, that's like, you know, wow.
Sally ran toward the big green monster, who was a full 12 inches tall. Godzilla said,
"Roar!"
Everyone stopped and stared.
"You know, roar. Roar, roar, roar."
No one reacted.
"Well, that's pretty much all I've got. I'm just supposed to be running around, saying roar, and stomping on things. Is there anything here to stomp?"
"Well, if you could stomp this package, we could probably get the peanut brittle, and that would be great."
Godzilla stomped on the package, and the peanut brittle spilled all over the floor. Larry began eating it instantly. The clock on the mantelpiece struck midnight, and Sally squealed,
"Oh, it's Chrissy Mass. Yay. Now we're supposed to love everyone."
"What does that mean? Love?"
"It means you want them to be happy and safe, you know. And mostly not eat them.
There are usually hugs involved."
She went and hugged Larry, who handed her a piece of peanut brittle and hugged her back.
"Seems to me that we should, like, you know, go back to being regular animals at some point. Don't you think? 'Cause the problem with having all these thoughts and feelings is they kind of interfere, you know, with, like, sort of being who we're supposed to be, you know? Love is tougher when you spend too much time thinking about it. Like, should we love monsters, too? I don't know. I'd rather not think about it."
Rocky went and hugged Godzilla.
"Roar! Roar!
Love you, man."
Godzilla hugged him.
"Love you, too, dude."
By now, Jackson's eyes were closing, and he was starting to nod off on my lap. And that's when the Wicked Witch of the West came and found the Wicked Witch of the North by Northwest. She told her she should come home with her sisters, and they hugged each other and then made a rainbow bridge materialize from the floor to the top of the tree. And the animals did what animals do. They crossed the rainbow bridge with all its pretty colors for your mom. And then Jackson fell asleep and dreamt of sweet squirrels becoming friends with a monster. Good night, kid. Your Uncle Horace loves you.
the lilac snow, drifting down so soft and slow. Outside my window, I watch it go. Oh, the lilac snow. Though the world may seem so still, it's coming in a distant chill with memories of winter's past, of the ones I wish would have lasted. Oh, the lilac snow tells secrets of long ago, of carol song, of gifts we've known. Oh, the lilac snow whispers softly on the wind as memories come flowing. The candles on the tree glow, softly lighting up the lilac snow. Then the quiet of the winter night was filled with wonder and pure delight. Oh, the lilac snow tells secrets of long ago, of carol song, of gifts we've known. Oh, the lilac snow whispers softly on the wind as memories come flowing in, as the lilac snow falls alone.
Frequency. End of transmission. Studio.